Well, I studied the subject this afternoon. You can't be comfortable in sin. I want us to look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Paul once wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death, said Paul, but on the other hand, he said, the benefit of obedience to God and a life without sin, without the practice of sin, is eternal life. The word sin means to miss the mark of God's law. When one sin, he or she would do that which God said not do. Sin, in addition to missing the mark of God's law, means is a transgression of God's law. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The writer would say, "Whosoever," he said, "anybody, committed sin, transgresseth also the law." He says, "For sin is the transgression of the law." The law of God can be misused. The law of God can be trampled upon. He says, transgress, therefore, means to step beyond God's fixed law or fixed boundary. God's given us a law, and He wants us to stay within those bounds of this law. He doesn't want us to go outside those bounds He's established in the law. So He says, now, when we do that, we've still got hope, because we can repent. We can repent of our sins. Repentance is a necessary action to get rid of sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is necessary for the soul, for man to be saved. For the soul to get clean, to be clean from sin by the blood of Christ. As we look, notice in Romans 6:23, go back to that passage just for a minute. Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." There's going to be a payday one day for those who die and they're still in their sins. Jesus said that, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," that we just looked at. The wages of sin, therefore, is death. That payday would be the second death. Death is eternal death in this case. The Hebrew writer once told us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That's not the death he's talking about. The death which we're talking about right now is eternal death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. John would write these words, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Death and hell. This is the second death. Without, if you get real comfortable in your sins on the earth and don't do anything about your soul on the earth, then this is where your eternal destiny would be. Be death and hell. Will be cast into the lake of fire. Let's look at some areas in which you can't be comfortable in sin. Number one, you can't be comfortable in sin when you're hiding from God. I'm going to look at several cases in this lesson and we're going to see what these cases really mean. Let's look at the case of Adam and Eve. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Genesis chapter 3, 8 through 11. "And they," Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he, God, said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Prior to this, Adam and Eve were in the right relationship with Almighty God. God had told Adam, he said, now there's a tree in the midst of the garden, and if you eat of it or touch it, you will die. Go back to verse 3. It says you're going to die. Well, there's the warning. There they did eat of that tree that God told them not to do. They transgressed or went beyond what God told them to do. God's law. After they sinned, the Bible says, they saw that they was naked. Adam said, I was afraid. They tried to hide from God, but they couldn't hide. They were exposed before God of their sin, tried to hide, that God wouldn't see them. This was days before Adam and Eve had heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day and had a relationship with Him that they didn't have sin in their lives. But now they got something called sin in their lives and they're trying to hide from God. They couldn't do it. And God asked Adam and said, who told you was naked? Who told you? Well, they knew it because they knew what they'd done, what they did against God. Because we can't hide from God in secret places either. Look at Jeremiah 23 and 24. God asked the question through Jeremiah. Can any hide himself in secret and shall I not see him? You cannot hide from God, saith the Lord. God wants that in Jeremiah's age of Israel said, can any hide himself in secret that God will not know where that individual is? Then he said, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I know what everything, about everything, about everybody on the earth is what Jeremiah's saying there. But you know, if we try to hide from God, like Adam and Eve did, you know, God will hide His face from us. Look at Isaiah 59, verse 2. We see Isaiah said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now, the problem is not, it's not then God. Isaiah says, your iniquities or your sins have you chosen to be separated from you and from God. And then your sins have hid His face from you. God hates sin. Because of your sins, Isaiah said to Israel, that God has hidden His face from them, that He will not hear. Now, if they repent, that's a different matter. Because repentance gives hope to people. If Adam and Eve had just, if Adam had said to God, well, I did wrong, I shouldn't have done it, you told me not to eat of the tree, and I did wrong, and I repent. But did he do that? No, he didn't do that. He blamed it on his wife Eve. God asked Eve, she blamed it on the serpent, and as I say, when God came to the serpent, he didn't have anybody to blame it on. But you see, repentance then becomes in the picture. In the book of James, we see James talks about repentance. Try to hide from God. We know we can't hide from God, so that's what's the next area to consider. Repentance of our sins. Repentance hides a multitude of sins. James chapter James chapter 5, verse 20. James said, let him know, or let that individual know, or have knowledge of this, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, we decide we want to come back to God. We decide we want to return back to God. He said, shall save a soul from death, the death which we just talked about just a few minutes ago, the eternal death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You hide a multitude of sins. In other words, like Jim was saying this morning, when we repent and ask God for forgiveness, God forgives us, the blood of Christ washes them away, they're not there anymore. So therefore, we need to repent. Repent, because Jesus, remember, saying, repent, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There's no hope. Number two, you can't be comfortable in sin by denying the Savior. The case of Peter. Peter and all the disciples said they would not deny Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. Look at that passage. Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of this night, of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep and the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Others would be offended of Jesus on this night. Peter said, I'm not going to be offended because of somebody going to come take you. Peter went on to say, I would even die with you, Jesus. But he said, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to deny you this night. I'm not ever going to deny you. I'm not going to ever say to people that I don't know you. Jesus told Peter even that night, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to deny you. Verse 35 said, likewise also all the disciples. We could look at all the rest of the events of that night, but let's zero in on the actual events in the life of Peter that night. Now let's look at Luke chapter 22, begin with verse 54 through 61. Let's look and see what Peter's reaction was that night. Now he's already said to Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. I will die with you. They come into the Garden of Gethsemane that night. Luke records and begin with verse 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when he had kneaded the fire in the midst of the hall, kindled the fire in the midst of the hall, we sat down together. Peter sat down among them. Certain maid beheld him as she sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I don't know what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how it said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Think about our lives. Do we do that? Can we deny the Lord? Sure, we deny the Lord. The first time, there was a woman that said to him, you'd with him. Peter's response was, "Woman, I know not what you're talking about." The second denial, somebody else said he was with Jesus. Peter said, "The man, I am not." The third denial, when somebody told him that he was a Galilean, his speech betrayeth him. He said, "This fellow also with him, he's a Galilean." And Peter yet said again, "Man, I don't know what thou says. The cock crew, the rooster crowed." Luke said, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. He looked at him. He remembered the word. Peter remembered the words of Jesus. Peter had done what he said he wasn't going to do. He had sinned. The Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. But you see, Peter he knew what he had done. And he came back to the Lord. And he came back. And Jesus had given him the keys of the kingdom, and he preached the gospel to the Jews in Acts 2, and to the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 and 11, to the Gentiles. We look at Peter and we look at his life, and we must deny ourselves of the pleasures of this world. We must take up our cross and follow Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus said in the next verse that if you want to be successful at the end of time, then we must lose our life on the earth that we may save our soul in eternity. Mark chapter 8, verse 35 of that chapter says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Meaning, whoever turns his back on the world to God will be pleasing to God. And whoever saves his life in this life and turns to the world is going to lose it eternity. He's going to lose eternal life. But Jesus said, "Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find save it." And he's saying, we have a choice to make. Jim was talking about choices. We have another choice to make. Are you going to save your life in this life and lose your soul in eternity? Or are you going to turn your back on the world in this life and save your soul forever? Doing the will of God reaps great benefits at the end of time. 1 John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we see, don't get comfortable in your sins. Don't get so comfortable in your sins that you will let this life be the world will engulf you in this life. And then you'll lose your soul in eternity. But don't practice the things of the world in this life and save your soul in eternity. And do the will of God. There will be great benefits. Number three, you cannot be comfortable in sin by rejecting the Redeemer. Let's look at the case of the rich man. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Here's a case of a man coming to Jesus And he wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto them, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus called, that young man called Jesus the good master. Jesus' reaction to him said, Why are you calling me good? Because my Father is the only one that's good. I get my instructions from my Father. He said, I want to know what I need to do, the good thing that I should do to inherit eternal life. He wanted that Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He said, Which one? Which one do I need to keep in the law of Moses? Jesus went through some, stated the commandments. He said, He done these. He said, I've kept them from my youth up. Now, here's where it gets personal. Jesus said, If you want to come and follow me, you sell all what you have, you give it to the poor, and don't reject me. And come and follow me. The Bible said he went away sorrowful. He was not willing to do that. He's not willing to part with his possessions to follow Jesus. He rejected the Redeemer in person. He rejected Jesus' invitation to follow him in person. Let's look at another case real quickly. Acts chapter 24 and 25. Next two is going to be in the book of Acts. We're going to have the case of Felix. Paul went before Felix in chapter 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, answered, and said, Go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. Felix heard Paul concerning the faith. In verse 24, Felix heard Paul talk to him, preach to him about righteousness, how to live righteously before God, temperance, patience, judgment of God to come. The Bible says Felix trembled. He trembled. It scared him. It scared him. Paul was talking about these subjects that he really didn't want to listen to. Felix delayed his decision until he told Paul, When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. I'll call for you. So Felix rejected the Redeemer of Jesus Christ in delaying his decision. And we don't have any record that Felix ever obeyed the gospel after that conversation with Paul. Now let's look at the case of Agrippa. Acts 26, let's go a couple of chapters, verses 27 and 28. Again, Paul's before the authorities. Festus, beginning in verse 24, had also told Paul before, he said, Now Paul, much learned and made you mad. He just got through talking about Jesus. How Jesus rose from the dead. Showed a light to the people and to the Gentiles. And Festus says, Paul, you know what you're talking about. You have so much learning, you don't understand what you're saying. Paul told Festus, he said, Now, Wait a minute. I'm just speaking words of truth and soberness here. King Agrippa was listening. Paul turned to King Agrippa and he says, he knew King Agrippa were listening to these words of truth and soberness, and these were beneficial for his life. Paul turned to King Agrippa and said, King Agrippa, I know you believe the prophets. I know what you believe about God. That God sent the prophets and talked about the Messiah, and the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to be in the world, and he was going to be raised, and we might have life. King Agrippa said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa rejected the Redeemer, but he was almost committed to Jesus Christ. Possibly because of his authority. He didn't want the Romans to know about it. He rejected the Redeemer for fear he might be killed or maybe even lose his position as king. A fourth one, the case of Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. Don't know a lot about Demas. We do know Paul said in this passage, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now Demas was a Christian. He was a fellow worker with Paul. But Paul said he had forsaken me. You know what? He didn't only forsake Paul, but he forsook God. Paul said the love of the world meant more to him than God. He'd forsaken me, having loved this present world. The love of the world will pull us away from God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Demas rejected the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, for the love of the world. He thought the world could offer him more than the joy and the contentment he could get out by serving Christ with the Apostle Paul. Again, you can't be comfortable in sin and not do what God says. But you don't have to stay in your sins. Jesus said, except you repent, all will likewise perish. If you repent of your sins, that is the way out. That is the way out. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 teaches us this younger son thought he knew what was best for him. Told his daddy, said, I want my inheritance. I'm going to go live among. I'm going to go in this country and I don't know what he's going to do, but he doesn't give any stated intentions what he was going to do, but he left home. He wanted to get away from home. He went in a foreign country, sure. He spent his money unwisely, he spent his inheritance. Then he began being want. But the problem was, in this country there was a famine. There wasn't any food. And no one could give him food. A citizen of that country told him, well, come, I'll get a job by feeding the swine. And he thought, well, now wait a minute. He would even ate what the swine did eat. Then he thought about home. He thought about, listen, look, my daddy's back at home, my brother and the servants they have food to eat. And he said, I need to go back home. Jesus said he proceeded to go home. He had his own speech. He had his own speech figured out in his head. He said, I'll just go back home and tell my daddy, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You just make me one of your hired servants. I'll just work for you. He wasn't comfortable in sin. He wanted to come back home. Daddy looked down the road every day, wouldn't see him. Finally he saw him. The daddy went and ran and braced him and says, welcome home. Welcome home. He couldn't even have any time to give his daddy's prepared speech. And the daddy said, this my son was dead and is alive again. And he's come back home. What's your relationship before God right now? If you're in sin, you sure can't be comfortable in sin, because sin makes people miserable. As a child of God, do you need to repent of your sins? You need to do that right now, because this is the time God has given you to get rid of these sins and repent of them. Have them. God will forgive you. And then the blood of Christ will wash these sins away. And as we sing the song, Almost Persuaded, do not let this time go by. This may be your only time to get your life right with God before Jesus comes, because we don't know when the end of time is going to come. If you need to respond to the invitation as a child of God, we encourage you to come and make that known at this time. While Jim leads us in our invitation song, will you come?